33 this morning. Psalm 33, and hold your place here in Psalm 33. We'll be in Genesis chapter number 1 quite a bit this morning as well, and so you might want to look at both of those places, stick a bookmark or a ribbon there, a bulletin, something, and I'll be looking at this passage of Scripture. Trust to be a blessing to you. As you know, our theme for 2023 is Great is the Lord. And I'm so thankful that our God is great. And as you know, I mentioned last week that the message series, the Sunday morning message series this year, will be designed so that it would help each of us to recognize the greatness of God. And then we will be challenged to respond properly to His greatness. And as we go through on Sunday mornings with this plan and this idea, for the next several weeks, I want to deal with this subject matter and examine several messages dealing with God's greatness revealed through creation. God's greatness revealed through creation. This morning, the message, if you've looked on the back of the bulletin, the title is this: He spake and it was done. He spake and it was done. In Psalm 33 and verse number 6, the Bible says this: By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Verse 9, For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood still. Our God is the creator of all things. The Bible declares that to us. It reveals it to us. I've often said over the years that the truth of creation is not isolated to the book of Genesis. So often we go to the book of Genesis, and we will this morning, and we'll look at the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and we'll look at a number of verses of Scripture as God gives us the record of creation. We understand that as you study the Word of God, that the truth of creation is not isolated to Genesis 1 and 2. We find that as you study throughout the Word of God, that various portions of Scripture, throughout the whole of Scripture, reveal to us that God is the Creator, and it reveals to us the handiwork of our God and that which is given to us, that which is revealed to us through creation. Many of God's people, as you study the Scriptures, they understood the greatness of God as revealed through creation. They stood in awe, even as we see here in verse number 8, of Him, because He is the Creator God. We see that Hezekiah, and then later on the disciples, we see that Jeremiah mentions this as well, but you see that they pray and they recognize that they're praying to the Creator God. They're praying to the One that spoke, and it was done, as we see in our text of Scripture here this morning. We understand that God, our God, is the Creator God. That ought to increase our faith. That ought to encourage us as we go through life, as we deal with trials and difficulties. And we spoke of some of that this morning in our Sunday school hour as we examine some of what the disciples experienced in the persecution there in Acts chapter number 4. And we understand that we face difficulties just as Hezekiah was facing the most powerful army of that time, the Assyrians. They'd taken Israel captive, and they're there threatening to take Judah captive, but Hezekiah prays and recognizes that God is the Creator, and as the Creator, the Assyrian army is no trouble for him. Oh, Hezekiah could not defeat the Assyrian army in his own power. There was nothing he could do, but God, the Creator God, was able to defend His people. And you read the account and you see that He did in a miraculous way. God gives Jeremiah a promise. He gives him a command before He gives him the promise, and the command is to buy the field. It was very interesting as you study the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah is prophesying on the eve of the Babylonian captivity. The children of Israel, because of their disobedience, had already been taken captive by the Assyrians, as I mentioned a moment ago. The southern tribes, those two tribes of the south, they too followed in the wicked ways of Israel, and they too would face captivity. Their captivity, however, would be at the hands of the Babylonians. God would allow that, and God was judging His people. We know that the Bible tells us that it was going to be a 70-year captivity, and you read that, and Jeremiah's prophesying on the eve of that captivity. In fact, as he's prophesying, you could see that the Babylonians were already ready, and they had besieged the city. And then God says, Jeremiah, buy this field. What an interesting piece of instruction. To buy a piece of field when you know that the land is going to be taken and you're going to be captives. And as Jeremiah prays in response to God's answer, he says, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens." You begin to see how Jeremiah recognized that the Creator God was able to fulfill the promise that he gave with regard to a remnant that would return. And indeed, the remnant returned. We read of that, and we understand that historical truth. And this morning, as we begin to, as the people of God, as we desire to see God and all of His greatness, and we start here with looking at how God's greatness is revealed to us through creation, and we see that the psalmist says, "For He spake, and it was done." What is it about God's greatness that is revealed to us through creation? If you're taking notes this morning, number one, creation reveals that our God is omnipotent. Creation reveals that our God is omnipotent. In other words, that He is great in power, that He has all power. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Jesus said that in Matthew 28. We read the book of Revelation. The Bible says, "The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." We find that creation reveals to us that our God is omnipotent. We find that there are many other truths within the Word of God and interactions with the people of God where God reveals His great power. But no doubt creation reveals to us the very power of God and that our God is omnipotent. Turn to the book of Genesis, if you will, in the first chapter, and you find here in the first chapter the record that God gives us of creation. And as we note the statement of the psalmist in Psalm 33, "He spake and it was done," we'll go through Genesis chapter number 1 and we'll skip around some of the verses and begin to see here this morning how that God reveals to us, and you'll see this recurring statement that God said, and it was so. He spake and it was done. In Genesis chapter number 1, you see the first reference in verse number 3 to God speaking. It says that, "And God said," notice what He said, "let there be light." And there was light. The third verse of the Bible that is so precious and powerful and profitable for us tells us that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's amazing. The power of God Almighty as seen through creation. In verse number 6, if you skip down to day 2, you find that the Bible begins in verse number 6 by saying again, "God said," and in verse 6 and 7 records for us what He says, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament." And then notice the phrase at the end of verse number 7, "And it was so." God said, we read everything that God said, and it was so. Reveals to us the power of God. On day number 3, beginning in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And again, you note those words, "and it was so." "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good." And this is still the third day. On verse number 11, He speaks again. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse number 14 reveals to us on day number 4, again, this same truth that God said, and it was so. "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so." You understand this morning that we live in a time in which, in fact, for many centuries now, the record of creation has been attacked. I've often said in personal conversations and even from this pulpit publicly that the attack on the Genesis record of creation is so obvious in the day in which we're living, and they're constantly attacking the Genesis record. Why? Because if they can destroy the foundation, then everything else crumbles. If God cannot be trusted in Genesis 1, how can we trust God in John 3? If God cannot be trusted with regard to creation, how can God be trusted with regard to redemption? Do you see the attack of the enemy? Do you see why he's so targeted on this thing of creation? And we live in a day with all sorts of theories and all sorts of ideas of where this world began, where we see the start and all those types of things. But God says in the first page of the Word of God, he reveals to us how he created and the power that is on display. On day number 5 in verse number 20, the Bible says this, "And God said..." We find again in verse number 24 on day number 6, "And God said," we find again on day number 6 in verse number 26, "And God said," you find that God spoke and it was so. I'm so thankful that our God has that kind of power. Amen?
Amen.
The theories that are out there that exist as to how this world began and how it all started, they seek to remove God. And we understand why, because Romans chapter 1 tells us that they want to deny the existence of the Creator because really they don't want to be accountable to the Creator. But when we understand that God is the Creator and we are His creation, then we become accountable to Him. And man, simply put, does not want to be accountable to God. So they want to deny the existence of God. They come up with their theories, as silly as they may be, and they try to peddle their thinking, and they've permeated our school systems. They have permeated our society. But I'm here to tell you this morning that our God is the Creator God, and our God has all power. And listen, when I understand and I begin to think about and have as our theme this year that great is the Lord, and I think about His great power, I see it in creation. And I stand in awe of Him and I say that my God has that kind of power, just as Hezekiah prayed and just as Jeremiah prayed and just as the disciples prayed and just as you and I have the opportunity to understand that the Creator God is my God, is our God, that He has all power. He has great power. There's nothing in your life, there's nothing in my life that's too hard for Him. He says to Abraham, He'd given a promise about a son. But we're old. Abraham and Sarah, we're old. We're past the time of childbearing. God reveals Himself with the name of El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. And He says to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for God?" This morning, when we think about creation and we look at the first chapter of the Word of God, we see that creation reveals to us that our God is omnipotent, that He has all power. He is great in power. Not only does creation reveal to us that our God is omnipotent, but number 2, creation reveals to us that our God is omniscient, that He is great in wisdom, that He has all knowledge. Keep your place here in Genesis 1, but turn to the book of Isaiah, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 48. And I want to look at 2 verses of Scripture, and I'll read them for you. But I want to look at these 2 verses of Scripture and help us this morning to consider the wisdom of God as seen through creation. It reveals to us that our God is not only omnipotent, that He has all power, but our God is omniscient, that He has all wisdom and all knowledge. And He's great in power, and He's great in wisdom. And we find that as we look here at Isaiah 48 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." Hebrews says something very similar in Hebrews 1 in verse number 10. I'll read the verse of Scripture for you. But in Hebrews 1 in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." We see his power, but we see his wisdom. It's very interesting as you would consider creation and you would consider this morning as we begin to understand the record that is provided to us here in the book of Genesis with regard to creation. We see that God has all power, but he has all wisdom, he has all knowledge. We consider this morning the stability of God's creation. The fact that God has created, but he's given stability in his creation. You think about all of the formulas that people use in mathematics and the sciences and all of those things. Why is it that they work? Because God holds it all together. Because he's given stability in his creation. You think about gravity. You think about the tilt of the earth that's at 23 and a half degrees and how that tilt of earth provides for us seasons. And why is it that we come to certain times of the year and we say, well, the calendar's about to change. We're going to have this season and we're going to go from winter to spring and spring to summer and summer to winter and so on to fall and then to winter. And you see the seasons, and we happen to live in a particular region of the world where we get all four seasons. Some places, they just get a couple of seasons because of where they're located on earth. But we see that there's still that season that they will have, that they will experience. They say that we have two seasons. We have hot and hotter. Some places of the earth are like that. We have wet, we have dry. They have seasons. It's a result of the tilt of the earth, the stability of God's creation. You think about the magnetic field and all of these things, and you begin to see how God gave stability. Not only did God give stability, and this is because of his wisdom, because of his knowledge. He gave stability, but he also considered, if you would this morning, that God's creation is suitable for life. We live in a time where they're spending billions of dollars to try to find life somewhere else. They're trying to find life somewhere else, and then they deny what life really means here on this earth, and they don't value life, right? Isn't that amazing? They don't value the one, they don't acknowledge the one who gives life. But you begin to think about God making the earth, the creation, and where we are here, and understanding that he made earth suitable for life, and the distance from earth to the sun is 93 million miles. You know, with just a slight variation, either closer or further away, Earth could not support life. The temperature differences and just some minor changes to that distance would not allow for life on Earth. That's God's wisdom. It's God's knowledge. We find that Earth's journey around the sun. I mentioned that it's 93 million miles from Earth to the sun, but the journey that we take annually around the sun is 584 million miles. So, man, that's a long distance. It is. 584 million miles. It takes 365 and a quarter days to do that, and you can calculate it, and it is consistent to 1,000th of a second. It's amazing. But you know what's interesting? If that journey around the sun took longer or took shorter, it would mess with life on Earth. It would change the temperatures of Earth and not allow for Earth to support life. Pastor, why are we dealing with this? I didn't come to science class this morning. Because creation reveals to us that our God has all wisdom, that he's great in wisdom. And we stand in awe of him. We think about the rotation of the earth. We understand, as I mentioned, a 584 million mile journey around the sun. But then you understand that the earth is rotating every day, and we have this rotation that goes, and we have night and morning, and the day and the evening, the sun and the moon, and so on and so forth. And changes to the rotation daily would affect Earth, that there'd be some places that would be colder and some places that would be warmer. And again, not allowing for life to exist in certain places. I want you to read a verse with me in the book of Job, in Job chapter number 9. Because when I begin to think about creation and I begin to think about the greatness of God, I'm thankful that God's creation reveals to me His greatness. I'm thankful that when I observe these things about creation, that I'm standing in awe of who He is, and I'm seeing that our God is great in power, that He is omnipotent, that He has all power. I'm thankful that He is great in wisdom, that He's omniscient, that He has all knowledge. And we come to the book of Job in the 9th chapter. We find that Job is replying to a so-called friend. They're miserable comforters. They've come to him because of some experiences that have taken place. In chapter number 1, you can read of them. I mean, it's terrible what's happened in the life of Job, but he retains his integrity. He continues to serve God, and these men show up, and they try to give him comfort, and again, they're not very good comforters. But Job answers, and in his answer, he reveals to us something about the Lord that is so precious. Notice in verse number 4 of Job 9, speaking of God, Job says this: He, God, is wise in heart and mighty in strength. I said that God's creation reveals that He's omnipotent, that He has all power. I said that God's creation reveals to us that He is omniscient, that He has all knowledge. He's great in power. He's great in knowledge. And we see that these two truths are inseparable, and they're absolutely essential. Isn't it wonderful to know that our God knew exactly what to do, but then had the power to do it? Think about that. You ever in a situation where you have the power to do something, but you don't have the knowledge of how to do it? House repairs. I might have a certain amount of strength to be able to do the work, but I have no knowledge of how to fix the problem. But what about someone that has the knowledge to fix the problem, but no longer has the power to do it? When I first arrived here to pastor Fellowship Baptist Church 11 and a half years ago, Miss Jackie Sundin said something to me about Ed that made me laugh. I still remember it. She said this. I was talking about sending an email, and she said, "Mr. Ed, he could build you a house, but he can't click a mouse." That's what she said. Mr. Ed and technology, they don't go together. But you know what Ed's told me in recent years? Ed could build a house. He's wired lots of houses. Super handy guy. You know what says, "Pastor, I just don't have the strength anymore. I just can't do it anymore." There's been some projects here at church that I've called Ed and I said, "Hey, Ed, would you help me with something?" He says, "I don't think I have the power to do it." I said, "No, I don't need your strength. I need your mind. Because I can do the work, I just don't know exactly what to do. So, Ed, what I need you to do is I just need you to tell me step by step what to do, and then I'll do the physical part so that we can take care of this problem." And we've accomplished a number of tasks that way. But with our God, He is, as Job said, wise in heart and mighty in strength. Not only did He know what to do with creation, but He had the power to do it. And that's so exciting. Because if He had the power to do it but didn't know how to do it, it'd be chaos. And if He had the knowledge to do it but not the power to do it, it'd never happen. But God has all power. God has all wisdom. He is great in power. He is great in wisdom. Listen, that ought to encourage us this morning. That ought to cause us this morning as we think about this theme, "Great is the Lord," and we say, "Oh, our God, He is great. How do I know that He's great? What is it that reveals to me? Because I want to recognize, I want to be aware of the fact that God is great." Well, creation reveals His greatness. It reveals that He's omnipotent. It reveals that He's omniscient. Let me say this, number 3 this morning, back in Genesis chapter number 1, creation reveals that our God is a God of order. Creation reveals that our God is a God of order. I'm thankful that God is a God of order. It's not chaos with God. There's no confusion with God. God says to us as His people, it's recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians, let all things be done decently and in order. And we find that our God is a God of order, and we see it in the very first chapter of the Bible, because creation reveals that He's omnipotent, that He's omniscient, but that He's a God of order. Notice with me, think of this, that there is logic in creation. There's logic in creation. On day number two, we find that Genesis reveals to us that, God, He separated the sky. It says in verse number 6, it says this, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And we find that this was done on day number 2, but it was on day number 5. If you continue to read through the passage of Scripture, you come to day number 5, and you find in verse number 21 that the Bible says, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. But look at the end of verse number 21, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So on day number 2, He separated and He made the heaven, the sky, and on day number 5, He filled it with life. He didn't make the fowls first and then figure out where to put them. On day number 3, He formed the sea. The Bible says in verse number 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas, and God saw that it was good. So on day number 3, God formed the sea. And we've already read verse number 21, that God, in verse number 20 says this, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And so God created the sea on day number 3, but then He filled it with life on day number 5. You know, how long do fish last out of water? Most of them not long, right? If you're a fisherman, and I'm not, but if you're a fisherman, if you're catching fish, not just wasting time, but you're catching fish, amen, Brother Sammy? And Brother Sammy's our resident fisherman, and if you're going to go fishing, you want to catch. Not get a sunburn and all that other nonsense. You want to catch fish. But if you're catching fish, if you leave them out of the water too long, they're going to die. That's what fish do. God didn't create fish on day 3 and then leave them out of water for 2 days. No, He created the sea on day 3, and then on day number 5, He filled it with life. Our God is a God of order. Think about this. On day 3, we've already read the verse in verse number 9, where the Bible says that He formed the dry land, and He called the dry land, He called it earth, and the gathering together of the water in verse 10, He called seas. Notice what else He did on the third day. In verse number 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And it says this in verse number 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And so we find on day number 3, not only did God form the dry land, but on day number 3, He also brought forth vegetation. You know what that vegetation would be? It would be a source of food. Because God knows that His creation needs sustenance. And so He made the land, He made the vegetation, and then we come to day number 6. And the Bible says this in verse number 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after His kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after His kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after His kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind, and God saw that it was good. So God made the land animals after He made the land and after He made the food source, because our God is a God of order. And we find that just reading Genesis chapter number 1 answers so many questions that people are debating over and fumbling over today, professing themselves to be wise. But Romans 1 says they became fools. Why? Because they deny the Creator. See, our God created all things, and there's order in His creation. Listen, there's logic. It makes sense how God made, how God formed. Why was there logic to His creation? Why is there order to His creation? Well, because He's omnipotent and He's omniscient. And thus, you find that there's order in His creation. Not only do we see the logic in creation, but I believe this morning that you see longevity of His creation. In other words, I would say this, the ability to reproduce. The ability to reproduce. We find that as we study this first chapter of the book of Genesis, that you will know a phrase. In fact, I've said it often already this morning. There's the phrase, God said, and it was so, and we've mentioned that in our first thought, in our first point. But then there's this other phrase that is repeated here throughout the record of creation in Genesis 1, and it's this phrase, after His kind. After His kind. This is so important. This foundational, fundamental truth of God's Word is so very important. We find that it was on day 3 in verses 12 and 13. And again, we've read the verses, but notice with me because I want you to note the phrase where it says after His kind. Look in verse number 11, actually. It says, let the earth, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, notice, after His kind. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed, notice again, after His kind. And the tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, again, a third time, after His kind. And God saw that it was good. We see this on day number 3. We see this again in day number 5, in verse number 21. The Bible says this, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. Notice, after their kind. And every winged fowl after His kind. And God saw that it was good. You say, Pastor, why are you belaboring the point? Because we live in a confused world. They don't understand kind. But in the first chapter of God's Word, He reveals to us His power, He reveals to us His wisdom, and He reveals to us that He's a God of order. There's logic in creation, but there's longevity in creation. There's this ability to reproduce, and we see the phrase after His kind. We see it again on day number 6. It says in verse number 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after His kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after His kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after His kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good. You say, did He have to keep repeating it? Yes, because He wants you to understand that there's order in creation and God has made it that way. This is a critical truth. A critical truth, the genetic code within the DNA, and some of you are much smarter than I am with regard to all of that, but it's my understanding as I've done some studying that the genetic code within the DNA allows for a wide variation horizontally within kind, but no vertical evolution from one kind to another kind. Okay, does that make sense? So within the genetic code, the Almighty God, the all-wise God, I could never figure this out, you could never figure this out, but God Almighty, who has all power and all wisdom, He created and He made after their kind, and He allowed within the genetic code for there to be this variation horizontally within kind, but there would be no vertical evolution from one kind to another kind. The horizontal variation that we see allows for adaptability, but not for evolution. It's very important for us to understand that. Listen, they're trying to breed dogs today that really aren't dogs. They don't bark, they don't shed, right? That's what dogs do, right? And they're trying to breed these dogs that don't do this. We have a golden retriever, and that golden retriever, he sheds. Hallelujah. I won't say any more. It's my understanding that people that are in the dog breeding world, they're taking golden retrievers and they're trying to breed them with poodles because poodles don't shed and they want to have a golden doodle. I'm not making this stuff up. They are cute. I agree. But you understand that that's only possible because a golden retriever and a poodle are of the same kind. They're dogs. You're not taking a dog, and you're not taking a cat, and getting anything except a fight. Right? Listen, I'm not a science major. I just read the Bible. Okay? And I'm not trying to be, I don't want it to come across prideful or anything. I'm just simply saying in the first chapter of God's Word, He reveals to us that He has all power, that He has all wisdom, and that He is a God of order. In the first chapter of Genesis, you get all of that. We haven't even gotten to the man part when God creates man. We're going to deal with that next week. Because I don't have time in one message to deal with all of it. But the reality this morning is that we see and we understand. Listen, we understand this practically, but we debate about it philosophically. Why? Because man does not want to acknowledge God. That's really the bottom line. Look at what Jesus said. I'll read it to you in Luke chapter number 6. And I want you to see what Jesus said. I'm going to jump right into the middle of a conversation that Jesus is having just to look at one statement that he makes with regard to what we're speaking of here with this truth of kind. I'm not going to deal with the greater context, but I want you to see what Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse number 44. In Luke 6 and verse 44, the Bible says this, "For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes." Why? Because God is a God of order. He's a God of order. And we find this morning that as we study the truth of creation, listen, creation reveals a creator. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth forth his handiwork." Creation reveals a creator. Everything that we have in this world, everything, every item that we have, somebody designed it, somebody put it together. I have a watch on my wrist, it's because somebody made it. It didn't just appear. We didn't just put a whole bunch of components in a room and voila, set off some TNT and there was a watch. No, that's nonsense. We're sitting in a building that's made up of materials that somebody with more knowledge than I knew how to put all these materials together so that we could sit in a building. You drove here, many of you, in a car that you probably don't even know all of the parts that go together to make that car, save Ron, maybe somebody else, because Ron's built a car before. But you have all those components, and then you got to put them all together. And all you did this morning, and all, well, I didn't, because I didn't drive here, I just walked here, but all you did this morning is got in and either pushed an ignition button or turned a key, and it ran. But somebody designed that. So why is it that we would look at this creation and we would not conclude that there's a creator? Only if we want to deny the creator because we don't want to be accountable to the creator. But I'm so thankful as a child of God that God's given me this book and he says, listen, I want you to know that I'm the Creator God, and that I have all power, that I am omnipotent. That problem that you have, that difficulty that you're facing, and I'm not trying to act like we don't have problems or difficulties. I'm just simply saying God has all power. That problem and that difficulty that you have, you say, I have no idea how we're going to deal with this. He has all wisdom. He's omniscient. He knows. He's great. And he has order. He's a God of order. Back in Psalm 33, and I'll conclude with this. But I want you to see in Psalm 33 these few verses that we've used as a springboard this morning into our text of Genesis chapter number 1. We find that the Bible told us in verse number 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. We read it, didn't we? God said, and it was so. Verse 9, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. But I want you to notice verse number 8. I read it in the beginning, didn't spend much time on it. In verse number 8, the Bible says this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Then notice this, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Why am I going to stand in awe of Him? Because He's the Creator. When I look at the creation, I see His power, and I see His wisdom, and I see that He's a God of order, and I say, wow, what a God I serve. He loves me. He's interested in me. He knows my needs. He knows your needs. And He created all of this. It's amazing. This morning, in the next few weeks, we're going to look at God's greatness revealed through creation. But this morning we see, He spake and it was done. I hope this morning that we recognize the greatness of His power, the greatness of His wisdom, and that He is a God of order. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Oh, how we thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us the Bible, the record of creation. Lord, we're so thankful that You are the Creator. But if You were only the Creator and not the Redeemer, we'd be without hope. I'm thankful that You are not only the Creator, but You're the Redeemer. And before the events of Genesis chapter 1 with creation, even before that, in the eternity past, You had a plan to redeem mankind. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And I'm so thankful for the plan of redemption. God, we stand in awe of You, of the Creator, but we are so very thankful that You're our Redeemer. This morning, if there's one that's not sure of their salvation, they've never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that You'd help them to recognize the truth that we looked at, but also this wonderful truth that You're the Redeemer. They would not leave this place. They would not tune off of live stream without knowing for sure that heaven is their home. God, I pray that as we recognize Your greatness through creation, You'd help us to stand in awe of You. Help us to be encouraged and strengthened to have our faith increase that You are the God of all power, that You are omnipotent, that You're the God of all knowledge, that You're omniscient, and that You are a God of order. I pray that those truths this morning, familiar truths for many of us, Lord, but that those truths this morning would have a profound impact in our lives, that we'd face each day, each circumstance, my God is the Creator and sustainer of all things. How that will impact and change our perspective. I pray that in these moments of invitation, that You'd have Your will and way. God, that as we've been ready to receive and listen and attentively, Lord, that You would help us to respond, to be doers of the word, to allow the truth to impact our lives. bless in these moments as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand?